Increasingly, the Renaissance believed that the reason why ancient Greeks were able to evoke such incredible expressive power out of their drama was because their dramas were sung. And as a result, those dramas combined the best of literature and the best of music. And we even listened to a little musical Greek drama. We listened to the Stasimon chorus from Orestes by Euripides. Now, another forerunner to opera were medieval liturgical dramas, which utilized music and religious texts. One of the flaws of this course, one of the many flaws of this course, is that I have not had a chance to play you any liturgical drama. We didn't talk about it. I didn't play you any of this music. Suffice it to say that these were not operas by our definition. We should simply understand there were predecessors to Baroque opera in terms of sung drama, but the most important predecessors were the ancient Greek dramas. Now, please, some essential review. Back to the late Renaissance, the second half of the 16th century, and the rebirth of the Greek musical ideal. To remind you, Renaissance composers sought to capture in their music the expressive power that they attributed to the music of the ancient Greeks. And attributed is the right word, because the Renaissance view of the power of Greek music was based on written accounts. The Renaissance did not have any actual Greek music to look at and listen to. So they were reading what Greek philosophers said about the power of music, and that is what turned them on. Now, the effects of this perceived Greek ideal on Renaissance music were numerous and significant. We talked about how Renaissance composers attempted to clarify articulation so that the meaning of a word would be clear to an audience. We talked about musica reservata, which means to fit music clearly to the rises and the falls and the rhythms of the spoken word. And we talked about word painting, a desire to create more expressive music by actually illustrating musically the literary meaning of the words being sung. The madrigal, a 4-to-6 voice secular vocal genre, used word painting or tone painting as its primary expressive vehicle. But we should understand, and now new material. Other genres are developing contemporary with madrigal as we move towards the ends of the 16th century. Genres that will seek to describe and express feeling as well as the meaning of the words. The Renaissance also sees a huge rise of secular stage drama. Again, to remind you, the bulk of Shakespeare's plays were written at the cusp between Renaissance and Baroque, between 1590 and 1610. Now, carefully, during performances of such late 16th century secular dramas in Italy, we see the increasing use of musical interludes inserted between the acts of these otherwise spoken plays. This is a very important couple of lines, and I would please ask you to listen to them again. During performances of such late 16th century secular dramas in Italy, we see the increasing use of musical interludes inserted between the acts of these stage plays. These insertions, these interpolations, were called either intermedio or intermezzo. That would be the singular. Intermedi and intermezzi would be the plural. These were sung interludes in between the acts of otherwise spoken Renaissance plays, dramas, and comedies. And they were inspired by the Greek choruses of Greek drama. Please, I would just take a moment because we've got to have a good nomenclature for plural. Since so much music terminology is in Italian, we have a choice. We can sound right or we can sound wrong. We can say the word intermezzo, and then we can pluralize it by saying intermezzos, and that sounds wrong. Or we could say intermezzo and intermezzi. That sounds right. We can say concerto and concertos, wrong, or concerto and concerti, right? This issue of plural is something we should discuss for a moment, and you will indulge me. I am holding in my hands what looks, for the literalists among us, like a long white string. But please, for a moment, I want us to pretend that this is actually an Italian food that we are about to eat, one rather cooked more than simply al dente.